Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com. The number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Pursuing your future doesn't end at 40. In fact, it may mark the beginning of knowing who you are, what you're capable of, and what you really want. But knowing what's next and how to get there can be a challenge, especially when old narratives play on repeat. Liberty Road is here to share stories so that you can consider your possibilities, pursue your purpose, and move into your future with intention. I'm your host, Netta Jones, and we're here to listen, learn, and liberate dreams one episode at a time.
Well, hello, Liberty listeners. Welcome to another episode of Liberty Road. I'm so excited that you guys are a part of this conversation today. We're having a three-way chat with my two new Instagram friends, Lisa Lysons and Julie Neefsee. And it's such a pleasure to have them both here in the conversation with us. And I'm going to let them each introduce themselves, and then we'll talk a little bit about why they're here and what we want to chat about today. So first of all, Lisa Lysons, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure. Absolute pleasure, Netta.
So nice to have you. And Julie Neefsee, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having us all the way across the pond. It's really, really lovely to meet you.
I feel very international whenever we do these podcasts, so thanks for that. So, Julie, let me start with you. Tell us a little bit about your platform and why you started it.
It was a private Instagram channel for a few years. Really, I kind of started it, and I thought of the name. It was when I was sort of turning 50 and trying to come up with my name, and it was really to explore being 50. So the 50th is my tag, and I was thinking that by the end of this decade, I'm going to have some idea of what it's like to be 50 and hopefully be some sort of expert at, you know, being 50. And that was what it was about, really, for me in a very small way. It kind of very quickly transitioned to being about silver hair. I joined the Silver Sisters community in the sense that I became friends with lots of them and started communicating with women across the world. That then led to it becoming about pro-age issues, because that just started to come into the conversation all of the time, and I became really interested in that. So I try and support that through my channel as well. And yeah, the sort of no shame about aging kind of angle is really important, I think, to all of the women who've gone through or going through the transition. As that sort of carried on, I had a sort of situation where I had a recurrence of a breast cancer that I'd had 20 years previously, and that boosted my interest in well-being, looking after myself as I age. And then that ended up with the clean beauty sort of focus of, why did I get two breast cancers? I did some research and started looking into what's in what we're putting on our faces and what we're putting on our hair. And that sort of became part of my whole kind of mishmash of things, really. I'm not very niched down, but I really enjoy all of the different aspects of the things that I look at and that I put on my channel, really.
It's funny that you say that you're not very niche down, because as I experience you on Instagram, it's a very clear message. So I don't at all feel like it's all over the place.
Actually, I think I'd be bored if I just did the one thing, and I'm really interested in lots of things. I think like Lisa as well. And, you know, so it's good to mix it up a bit.
Well, I think the tight part is the 50 part. You know, I think that's the cohesive piece. There's many layers to us and what it means to be living in this sort of midlife season. So I appreciate that. Lisa, how about you? Tell us the name of your handle.
Okay. My account is Hi-Ho Silver Lisa.
I love it. I love it.
Thank you. I was encouraged by a lovely lady who I met on Facebook, actually. I was 8 months into growing out my silvers. And I thought, oh, I wonder if there's any support on Facebook. And I found this wonderful community, Graying Gracefully or something like that. Uh-huh. So I joined that group, and a lady reached out in private and said to me, have you ever heard of Silver Sisters on Instagram and the hashtag, which I hadn't. And she sort of said, I encourage you to start an account. I mean, I had an account already on Instagram, but it was private just for friends and relatives mm-hmm. and things. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so she encouraged me. And so I thought, oh, why not? It was the start of lockdown over here in England. So we were whiling away the days just sort of gardening and, you know, not doing very much. And I thought, yeah, why not? It sounds wonderful. It sounds very supportive. It sounds very inspirational. And I wanted inspiration, really, because it was a big step. I mean, I was 8 months in. I've been wearing a hat for 8 months, or tie my hair back. I mean, loving what I was seeing, but still, you know, it would have been nice to have some sort of support, as I wasn't really seeing anyone, obviously, just going out walking the dog around the country lanes, but not really seeing anyone. So, yeah, so I did that, called it Hi-Ho Silver Lisa. That was after my brother and my love for the Lone Ranger when we were younger.
I love it.
Yeah, so I thought, why not go for Hi-Ho Silver Lisa? So tie in a few things. That meant, you know, a lot to me. Before long, it was like, oh my gosh, this incredible community of women, not only inspirational, but just kind, supportive, always making comments. You're doing amazing, you know, just well done, keep going. And it was at a time where, I don't know, I think as we get older, for us women, it's really lovely to have a tribe, absolutely, to have connections and have these beautiful women. And it just felt really important. So it was good for me to be open to this.
One of the things that struck me as both of you were talking was this need for a support system to go silver. I've never heard of a man needing a support system to go silver. So, So why do you think, and Julie, I'll ask you first, why was that silver sisterhood important? Was it to know how to go silver? Was it just the process of it? Or was it banding together with other women?
It was both of those, all the things that Lisa said. Uh-huh. But I think isn't it indicative of how terrifying that moment is for a lot of women to actually let go and reveal what's underneath, if you like, and step into that moment where you are owning what you are. And I wanted to see other people doing it, kind of thing. I wanted to see that I wasn't alone. And once I did see that I wasn't alone, it made it incredibly easy in a way, because I could just, like Lisa said, you just lean on people. People give you advice. You'll post something and everyone will go, yeah, that's great. And you think, wow, yeah, it is okay, you know, because society doesn't tell you that it's okay. Yeah, it doesn't.
No,
exactly. We're bludgeoned into this. You have to keep it dyed. You have to keep it dyed. It's shameful to have. I was ashamed of my grey hair, literally ashamed of it. You know, I got to the point where I had to give it up because of I was allergic to the dye, and it just got worse and worse and worse. And I thought, in a minute, I'm going to have a really bad reaction and I'm going to end up in hospital or something. So I had to give it up, but it was still really, really scary. And joining the Silver Sisters opened it all up for me and made it much easier.
So Julie, you, as you just said, you had to give it up, but then it sounds like you leaned into almost the metaphor of what it represented in your life. Is that accurate?
Yeah, because as soon as you start doing it, it becomes this journey. Mm-hmm. It's this big metaphorical journey of, and I can't I can't tell you how many sisters I've heard say this, because as you grow through it, you, especially if you grow it out, if you grow it out inch by inch, you just learn so much about yourself as you do it. There's almost a humility in having to do it. It's like, here I am gradually revealing myself, you know, bit by bit, inch by inch. And as it comes down, you start thinking, actually, I'm okay. And I, nothing happened. I didn't explode because my hair, you know, everyone's still talking to me. I'm okay.
And Lisa, I want to ask you the same thing. Why did you make that decision? Was it similar to Julie? Was it something that you needed to do or had to do?
I was a little bit curious of what my natural hair color was like, to be honest. I've always been into natural health and looking after myself. So I used to go to a plant-based natural hairdressers. Mm-hmm. So I always felt that I wasn't putting too many chemicals in, you know, into my body while I was doing it. But actually, just before I grew it out, a few years before, I decided I'd go a bit lighter because I thought, oh, when I do transition, it will make it easier. Yeah. You know, I won't see that glaring silver line there for, you know, for the week after I've had my hair done. So gradually I went blonder, and I was like that for a couple of years, and it was fun. It was just something fun to do. I was thinking, actually, as lovely as the blonde is, it doesn't really go with my natural skin tone at all. And I wanted to know what my actual natural hair color was, you know, what it had turned into, because I knew that was going to be the one color that was going to complement my skin tone
the most. So it was a curiosity that became, it sounds like, something more as you experienced it, and probably as you got involved in the sisterhood, as you start exchanging stories and information, encouraging one another, then all of a sudden it takes on this life of its own. Okay, let's go back to the platforms. I think a lot of our listeners, you know, one thing I used to hear a lot as a consultant, and I still continue to hear, is this kind of great divide between women in their 40s, 50s, 60s, and technology. And you two kind of went the other way. You leaned into it as you were talking more and more about your journey into midlife. You were leaning into a technology that is relatively new. Why did you choose to do it? Was it something that was organic? You were already on Instagram anyway, so what the heck? Or were you more intentional about, I'm going to really get to know this one platform and make something of it? I know you both had private accounts, and then you know, started to talk more and more about your own journey. But at some point, there had to have been something more intentional or a decision made about that. Julie, you can start.
I think mine happened with, oh, I've quoted her a couple of times, actually. There's a woman at work when I was still working. I used to work in a school. And we were having a conversation one day, and we were both on Instagram. Because we worked in a school, it had to be private, so you couldn't have a public account.
I see.
And I remember talking to her, and we were looking at what people were doing, and particularly, you know, women of our age. And she said to me, oh, they're having so much fun. And I remember thinking, I'm not having that much fun. I'm just not having enough fun. And it started a few things thinking, you know, I was thinking about things. I'd posted a few things, but because my account was private, when I did make it public before I actually left my job, but because my name was the 50th, nobody knew who I was, and I didn't put my name on it, so it kept it quiet. And I could see that there was something fun out there that I could do. That was all it was about, really. And the support for the silver hair. I always liked computers as well. So if you talk about the technology, I've always liked computers, and I get fascinated by all the little editing apps and all the things that you can do. And I've made so many mistakes, and my first reel was just dreadful. If anyone is out there and is thinking about it, just go. You'll learn as you go. That's what we've all done.
And I love that you led with fun. You were looking for something that was an outlet. And so you, in not taking it so seriously in the beginning, you were able to be curious and experiment and not edit too much. And I think that probably was part of your success, is that people could see that and wanted to engage with that on the other end.
Yeah, there's an innocence about it in those, especially in those, don't you think, Lisa, in those early days, And what was really helpful was that the Silver Sisters do things like they put challenges out there. So they'd say Silver Sisters in hats, and everyone would post a picture of themselves with a hat, you know.
That's right. Lovely.
And it just gives you an easy way to just kind of bung some content out there. And it doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. Yeah. If you get it wrong, you think it matters. It doesn't matter.
No, everyone's just having fun, aren't they?
Yeah.
And Lisa, was it the same for you? Was it sort of this unintentional, like, okay, I think I'll just be transparent about my silver experience?
Absolutely. Very organic. Not very tech-based at all. So it was just going with the flow, really. And like what Julie was saying, when these wonderful sisters are throwing out all these challenges, I thought, oh, how do we do that? And it'd just be like, you know, just fumbling along the way, but getting there eventually. I mean, I'm still there on the settee doing that with my reels, like Julie was at the beginning. But you might
know you're not.
I don't do too many reels, actually. Or sometimes I'll call Julie up and say, "Oh, Julie, how do I do this?" She's the expert.
It's awesome that you actually have each other in that. I think that's part of what's uncomfortable for many women in this age group is that, you know, they're relying on their kids and they're like, well, I don't really want to do what my kids are necessarily doing, but I want to have my own social media experience. Mm-hmm. How do I do that? And you guys are sort of examples for one another. So it's nice that you're able to, ask each other. At what point did each of you, and Lisa, I'll just start with you since we're chatting. At what point did you realize, oh, this is a thing? This is not just a pastime or me having fun. This is a thing. People are paying attention. I have a voice. Perhaps I have a responsibility because I have a voice. I don't want to put words in your mouth.
I think it was a few months in when I started noticing my followers going up quite dramatically. Mm-hmm. And I was getting some really beautiful feedback. Because originally I was just putting some quotes up that I resonated with. Yeah, there'd be some really beautiful feedback from that. And then after a few months, I started getting a bit braver, sort of growing into myself, my authentic self, and thinking, actually, I'm going to sort of share my thoughts, my feelings, maybe my thoughts for the day or whatever. And I got really lovely feedback, really supportive. Some women private messaging me saying, really love what you're doing. And could you give me some tips on my hair, trying to grow it out, or, you know, just things like that. And that's when I started taking it a little bit more seriously and feeling that I could really help other women mm-hmm. become more of an encourager and a supporter. And just wanted to invite people in to be friends, to offer friendship, really.
Do you think that that intention was part of what the uptick was about? You know, going from quotes, it's really interesting that you did that. So you go from quotes, which you think, oh, this is consumable for everybody. But it wasn't until you yourself showed up that you were able to see that kind of response. Mm. Would you say that's the case?
Yes, I think it was actually. I think it made it more real. It made it more, I was actually feeling these words and seeing that they didn't just represent me. They represented a much wider audience. There was a lot of women out there that could resonate with what I was putting out there.
Right. When you were showing up, were you kind of entertaining? Were you being thoughtful and sharing some sort of wisdom or some deep reflection? What were you doing?
Yeah. More thoughtful.
Okay.
Definitely more thoughtful. Definitely showing a part of myself which had been quite hidden, I suppose, for a while, you know, just to my closest friends, obviously.
Yeah.
But for a wider audience, you know, I would never have really done that. I wouldn't have had the confidence to do that.
Yeah.
So it gave me that ability as well.
And then once you saw people responding and those relationships, that was sort of bonds beginning and feeling like, oh, people are inspired by this, then it sort of generates the will or the excitement to do the next one.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
And Julie, how about for you? When did you know, I really got something here. I want to expand it, or I want to take it more seriously.
Well, just listen to what Lisa said. And I think it's when you feel like you're giving some value for people, that there's worth mm-hmm. to what you're creating or what you're putting out there. And for me, it was the pro-age stuff was important, and I felt like I became part of an important movement that was going on, and I enjoyed that. And the yeah. conversation, it's the debate for me as well. It's where people, where you say something that people go, yes, damn it, you know, yeah. this is what's happening. And there's lots of talk, you know, lots of people feel strongly about things. Like Lisa said, it was for the first time in probably my whole life, I felt like I could say what I thought, which is unreal, isn't it? And so it's a gift. It's given me a tribe. It's given me a platform. It's given me connections. I've met people. I've done things I never thought I would. And that grew out of saying something and someone going, yes, you're right about that. And it being that kind of dialogue with thousands of people. And that gives you a sense of your scene, I think. So that's yeah. what drove me on. And mine took a slightly different, because I have done some beauty things. I've been able to work with brands. If you told me 5 years ago I'd be doing that, I would have laughed you out of the room, honestly.
I want to unpack that, because I think this is where the mystery is, right? So people are going to go to your respective platforms. They're going to see two beautiful women who are being honest about their journey. And they might feel that that's a far away from them, right? And so what I want to do is kind of pull the curtain back a little bit and explain to them, what is this role of an influencer? How does one decide that this is going to happen? Anytime I interview an influencer, it almost always starts with a story similar to yours. I did it for fun. I did it because I just wanted to share a little bit more of who I was. I did it because I wanted to build community in this midlife space where I didn't see any. And so I think that's the first lesson. The first lesson is the intention is, to your point, Julie, to give value, right? And to yeah. have fun and to kind of share who we are. And Lisa, you've shared beautifully how that sort of organically happened for you. But then there's that next step that's I'm being more intentional about it and I'm able to perhaps monetize it. So how does that work? Explain to somebody who all they know, all they've done on Instagram is share a couple pictures of their kids and their dogs and, you know, their vacations. How do you start to think about this as a tool, not just to build community around, but to perhaps monetize? And maybe you've done this in two different ways. I don't know, but I'd love to hear your stories. Again, for the sake of the listener saying, is this something I'm interested in doing? Or maybe it's not me as a personality, but I have a brand. How do I utilize the tips and tricks that Lisa and Julie used on their respective platforms to move myself forward? So Lisa, I'll start with you.
Okay. I haven't actually had any financial gain from my account as yet. Very generous businesses send me free clothing and makeup and skincare, obviously all within my ethics, yeah. you know, in line with what I stand for. And also I have now got a wonderful New York agency, which has come about since starting this wonderful account as well. So from
that's
that point
awesome.
Of view,
thank Woo!
You. Thank you. Yeah. Oh, my biggest fan.
Oh, that's great.
I'm her number one fan.
Oh,
that's very so sweet. Lovely. I love that.
So yeah. So from that point of view, and so the work that's coming from that,
I think what I want people to hear in that is that by postponing that, because I'm sure there were opportunities for you to find, you know, financial sort of kickbacks
Absolutely.
Here and there. But by you postponing that and focusing on your message and only showing makeup, skincare, clothing that is in line with who you are as a brand, right? Like, this is consistent with who I am. I'm not taking on anything that doesn't stand for what I stand for, that doesn't have the same core values.
Absolutely.
I think the result of that is you are a very trusted voice to that community. And now when it's time for an agency to bring you on, they know that you are what you say you are. And the following you have is because of that. So I think you know, and we've had, again, influencers on who have been very, very clear about that. Like, I pushed back, I postponed any financial gain in the short term because mm-hmm. I knew the message was bigger. And I think what you have to think about building is it's not, that time isn't wasted. It's social capital that you're building. It's trust. It's people believing you are who you say you are. And eventually Absolutely. That will have its payoff. So Julie, I'll flip back to you. How has monetizing that, you had brought that up at some point, worked for you? And I'm glad you guys have two different stories because it adds to the breadth of what we're offering up for our listeners.
So I didn't go into it with any view that I would be able to make any money because, again, it was just kind of the fun thing. Once I'd had the second breast cancer happened in 2021 and I sort of went through my recovery, I did open that out on Instagram. So I had lots of support from women across the world, which mm-hmm. was amazing. And it was what I needed because the first time I had cancer, I didn't talk to anybody at all. And so it was great to have that support. So I was still on Instagram a little bit, and then that kind of picked up and I started doing some more after that. And a lovely company called Indeed Labs contacted me before I had that and said, did I want to do a paid contract with them to promote a product? And I had never done anything. So I remember saying, I've never done this before. and also I've got to go and have this operation and I can't do anything right now. I'm still interested if you want to do something when I'm better. And they're like, yeah, well, wait, it's fine. And they contacted me throughout and said, this is what we want you to do. And I had already done, the first thing I ever did actually was a jewelry shoot for a local business, Rachel, who makes beautiful enamel jewelry. And that was really scary because I'd never done anything like that before, any kind of modeling. That was utterly terrifying, but really fun. And like I say, it's all about the fun.
You did a fantastic job.
Thank you. And then so that was my first paid job, but I didn't have a clue how to price it. You know, everything was Googled. I just Googled the heck out of, Google, trying to find what to do, how to do it. I didn't know anybody that did it. So I just had to find out on my own, really. And as time went on and I did a few more, I then started to ask other sisters about it and the ones that, you know, are great at it. You can see they do loads of it. And I got some advice from different people and started to get a feel for how that might work. But it is, I wouldn't say that's easy.
Yeah.
It can be quite complicated sorting out the deals. There's lots of things that if you're not careful, you can really get taken for. Because if you give an inch, they'll take a mile because it'll cost them less. That's not brands I've worked with, but I know that there are brands that do that. Because the ones I've worked with, again, like Lee's, I've chosen ones that are really, really fit with my ethos. I do my diligence on the brands that I work with. They are exactly what I want to work with. And I check them out to the best of my ability anyway. So it kind of fits. It's the same thing as Lee's. We've come to that separately. It's just that you just want to work with people that represent your core values. And you do get offered loads of gifted stuff. Like, I don't know about you, Lee's, every week I get a good number mm-hmm. of offers come through of things I just don't feel like aligned with. Like they're just not part of what I want to be part of. So when refusing things regularly mm-hmm. and then just mm-hmm. picking the things that feel right.
One of the gifts of working, whether it's on social media or just in any particular job, when we're doing it at this age, is if we have the luxury of choosing who we work with and how we work and what we represent, it's such an opportunity, right? To be able to say, I've lived this long, I've made mistakes, I know what I want, I know what I don't want, and what a gift to be able to lean into that. And I know not everybody has that luxury. Like for some people, they don't have the choice. They need to work to put food on the table and they don't get to choose those things. So for those of us who have that, while it's a privilege, I always say it's a responsibility too. And it's good for us, I think, to own that responsibility and to continue to build that trust with, for you guys, for people who are paying attention to what you're saying.
I think also that although it is a luxury to be able to pick, it's if you overload your page with lots and lots and lots and lots of selling, it doesn't work. You're going to lose people and people don't want to be sold to.
No.
That said, there are some amazing women out there who just integrate it seamlessly into what they do. And you don't feel like you're being sold. It's just, you know, that's their business. So some people do it brilliantly and other people can get it wrong. Yeah. And if you get it wrong, people just feel like that you're choosing things all the time, yeah, and it's just thrusting it down their throat, really, and it doesn't feel right. So you've got to kind of space it out.
I actually feel a little bit uncomfortable when I feel I'm in a position where I have to push something. So I try not to go there with companies. Like Julie said, you know, if you are hearing from these companies day in, day out, you know, wanting to push their products on you, you know, it's about stepping back a little bit. But as Julie said, some people do it seamlessly, you know, and they're amazing at what they do. Mm. But for me personally, where I'm coming from, it's more about just being completely honest, authentic, and yeah, just promoting people that who I love.
Yeah, when it's not selling, when it's giving advice, when it's like, I need to tell you this, I need to tell you, my audience, this, because this is so awesome. Yeah. That's a very different feeling than, I wouldn't use this myself, but I need to do this so I can make money. And people can sense that. People can see through that. So it strikes me that this silver sisterhood has been so much more than just support in growing out your silver hair. It seems to me that you've leaned on each other, as you've both said more than once, to learn about Instagram and growing your Instagram, to find community within each other. I mean, Lisa, you just said that Julie is your number one fan, or Julie said it. And just to have that sort of support as you're going through things beyond growing your silver hair, to have that kind of community is really important. And one of the things I hear a lot when I'll be picking people's brains, women's brains, and say, what do you want to hear more from us as a brand? What are the things that you're struggling with? What I hear a lot is, I don't know how to make new relationships. That finding female friendships that go beyond my, you know, my children's soccer mom sort of friends or whatever, I don't know how to find that. It's been really hard at this point, at this juncture. And I think it's, they're not talking about just surrounding themselves with people, but really meaningful relationships.
For sure.
What you guys have been able to be a part of, it's really helped to define what those meaningful relationships are and need to be and can be. And it's all been done via social media.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Absolutely amazing.
I'm sure you couldn't have guessed it.
Never, we could never have guessed.
We go on mini breaks together.
Yeah, with others.
You do.
Yeah.
We share cake together. We it's a lot of sharing, lots of heart connection, and just something that's just unexpected, isn't it, really?
Yeah,
I
absolutely.
Think when my kids grew up personally and you weren't there at the school gates anymore, and it was just dropping off and going home. And a few of my really close friends are Australian, so I never really get to see them very much. And so I drop the kids off, I'd go home, and it was all about being at home. I've got quite a few animals, so it's being with the animals, being with myself, all really, really lovely. But I was really craving those connections, seeing them face to face, being able to connect, you know, meet up and chat over a cake. But as we get older, I think for us, I think it's just so important.
Yeah.
We're going through so many changes, so many emotions, everything from hair to menopause to health issues, like lovely Julie here. You know, so to have someone we can actually cry with, laugh with, share with is just off the scale, really. And incredible that Instagram actually offered this.
Yeah.
You know, it was just mind-blowing. And it was something that I personally never, ever imagined in a million years when I put that first picture up showing 3 inches of gray hair. I didn't know what was around the corner.
Well, I want to say something that I think is really key here. It's not just enough to throw up an Instagram. You had that experience. You both had those experiences because you shared you gave first. And so it becomes an invitation to other people to then connect with you. If you are putting out, especially now, I think we're sort of beyond, you know, things that look a little too fake or a little too happy all the time or whatever. Like, we want people to show up as genuinely who they are. And I think Absolutely. That community and the depth of those relationships that you found yourself in was a result of what you did first. Like, you began that transaction. And I want people True. To hear that. It's not enough to True. Just put a bunch of pretty pictures up on an Instagram.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I agree, Neda, because I think you've got to engage. So if you're going to put pictures up there, you have to play the game a bit. You do you know what I mean? You have to talk to people. You have to get out there and start talking to people and answer people when they put a comment. And, you know, if somebody DMs you, then, and you want to, you don't have to, but you can, you know, interact with them that way if you yeah. want to. So, and all of those things will help grow your confidence, because I think women, when they get to this kind of mid period, can feel empty, nesty, or what is yeah. there left out there for me? And where are my connections, and what's going to happen? It's just like I'm coming off a cliff. I think I'm feeling that yeah. with my menopause.
Good analogy.
You know, what is there down there, you know? Yeah. And the connections are like the lifelines, if you like. But you have to engage. Yeah. So if anybody's listening and they're thinking about doing it, then get in there and just get stuck in, talk to some people, because it's also a really safe space to talk to people. Mm-hmm. You don't Absolutely. Have to see people's faces, and you can start to build up confidence just by commenting on those people's regularly, you know, or that answering people and starting to recognize people. And then we feel such kinship with these women. When we met a whole bunch in London last year, it was insane. You know, we were so excited because we'd seen them for a couple of years, and we yeah. felt like we knew each other, and we really kind of did.
Absolutely.
And it was yeah. just joyful. And we made reels, we mucked around, and we only met for a day. You know, we stayed Absolutely. A little bit longer, but it was a beautiful, beautiful thing. And so those are the things that can happen, but you have to engage.
Gosh, kudos to whoever started that.
Yeah.
It was more than a movement, right? They've started this massive community.
Absolutely.
So let's talk about the silver hair thing just for a second. And Julia, I want to ask you, what is it that, and I referenced this earlier when we talked about how men don't need community to go silver. What is it that you think is holding us back? Is it internal? Is it a social construct? Is it that we're so afraid of aging and this is the first sign of it? What is it that you feel like we're struggling with to sort of naturally embrace this? And let's be honest, it's an easy thing to mask, right? It's much easier than plastic surgery. It's much easier than yeah. dieting and all these other things that we feel like we've got to kind of suck up and remain some sort of 30-year-old version of ourselves. But what do you think it is about the silver hair piece with you as an advocate? What do you think is kind of holding us back, and why are you so hell-bent on encouraging us to go silver?
I think that you've kind of hinted at lots of things in your question, mm-hmm. really, because it's an extremely deeply ingrained narrative that we have to break. And it is happening. My feelings about it are kind of on two fronts. It's changing the narrative. That's why I want to continue to do what I'm doing. It's letting women know it's okay. It's actually all right this side of the fence. You know, this side of the hair dye, life goes on. And I mean, I meet people all the time who say, I could never do that. I could never do that. And they absolutely could. You just have to work out a way of doing it for you. And society, the pressure is so, so hard. When you think about
absolutely
decades and decades and, you know, older women as hags and witches, and it's in our psyche. It's we look at pictures when we're in our childhood of ugly women with grey hair. It's so ingrained. I can see exactly how we become this fearful of it. And I was scared of it. I first found my grey hair when I was 23, and I have dyed my hair consistently since then, pretty much.
Wow.
And I would be so scared that my hair would blow up, and you would, so I call it the line of doom. You would see this line of doom because, you know, within a couple of weeks, my hair would, this band would grow. I would buy sprays and put it on my parting. And I mean, what is that about? You know, what is that about? And this narrative is so
sad.
It's so built into us, and that's where the fear is. And it's wrong. It's absolutely wrong. And that, yet that's perpetuated by, you know, society in some respect now. It's still in a lot of cultures, it's still very looked frowned upon to let your hair go grey. It's slovenly. So that, I think that's where it comes from.
I think the story you're telling in us growing up with these visuals of old women, haggard looking, even mean looking, being replaced with new images of confident women who are going gray. We say it on our website that you have to see it to become it, right? You have to have sort of these examples. I really believe that.
Yeah.
And that's the point of the podcast. If people are listening to the two of you and how you did it, then maybe there's something in that for them. They can consider their own possibilities. And I think that's exactly what you're doing, is you're giving us evidence of, well, that doesn't look so scary. That actually looks amazing.
Absolutely. Good.
You know, is that available for me, right?
For sure. Definitely. I think we're so bombarded, you know, in the media for just dyeing your hair because you're worth it.
Yeah.
And covering up the grey because you're worth it, you know. And, you know, if you want to cover up your grey and you love colouring your hair, you know, that's fair enough as well, you know. I used to really love enjoying colouring my hair in different colours and things like that, and fair game. But when you start doing it just because you start feeling dirty or not looking after yourself or and made to feel that way, and for me, being a model as well, you know, that was frowned upon. It was just like, oh, you have a few greys at a job, you know, and they'd be there for hours with the well powder, you know, and I'd feel so bad. My confidence would plummet, you know.
Yeah.
So it's very, very hard for us all to break out of that. And that's with us from an early age, isn't it? Like Julie said, I mean, I found my first grey at 18 and I'd be there in front of the mirror with my tweezers, pulling them out, these amazing white hairs. But, you know, that's just obviously a part of my journey. I wasn't ready to go there yet. I was frightened to go there as well.
Sure.
You know, I was frightened because I just didn't feel that I would be accepted.
Julie, did you want to say something?
I was just going to say that age isn't valued. Mm. I think that's where it comes in as well. Although we have this immense amount of experience, if you look older, then there's a chance that you'll just be made gradually more invisible and not noticed and not worthy and ignored by society. And that is one of the things that we're trying to go, ta-da, look, we're still here. We have the grey hair.
Absolutely.
We're worth it. We are worth it. We're worth this. We're not worth that. And you know who we're talking about. And and I think that's really key, that we aren't sidelined, that we can shine. And that's why you've got Jamie Lee Curtis with 5 million people on Instagram and, you know, Helen Mirren and Whoopi Goldberg and people that just aren't ashamed to show their age through their hair, because it just doesn't mean anything. And we are still just as worthy. I'm just as worthy as I was when I was 34. I don't feel any different. So, you know, that's part of that whole narrative. We shouldn't be ashamed of this. And that's what we push for, isn't it, Lisa?
Absolutely.
I love that.
Well said, darling. Well said.
Thank you guys for sharing your passion. I'm excited for people to listen to this and feel like they have a new paradigm in which to approach their own aging, whether it's their hair or their skin or whatever it is that they're sort of struggling with. So thank you for sharing that. Lisa, I want to ask you a question really quickly. This was actually something that you wrote. It wasn't necessarily a quote on your feed, but it was, you'll never be this version of yourself again. Slow down and be with her. What prompted that? What was the moment of realization, and what was it for you that caused that sort of quiet pause?
Yeah, well, that was actually from Rupi Kaur, an Indian poet, and I think reading that just made so much sense to me. I think I'd spent many years thinking that if I was like this, or if I was this woman, or if I was doing this, always thinking of the future, then my life would be so much better, I'd be so much happier. And I realized that there was a lot of time wasted there, of me always looking to the future, always trying to be someone else, or, you know, just trying to, I think maybe trying to be perfect.
Yeah.
And actually all along, I am perfect as me.
Yeah.
You know, and it was all about sort of slowing down, which I have in the last few years, going within. Yeah, just connecting with me. And I felt that those words actually really, really did resonate with me. And I thought they would with other women as well, maybe for the same reasons, maybe for different reasons, but they spoke to me.
They're powerful words. And I think, you know, we've all had a moment of finding a picture of ourselves in our 30s or something and lamenting that we, at that point in life, like I can remember the things I thought about myself and the things that I had hoped for, or wished were different. And I look at that 30-year-old woman and I think, oh my goodness, if only you could have, in your words or in Rupi's words, been with her. She was beautiful. Yeah. She was wonderful. She knew what she knew at the time, right?
Absolutely. And so, yeah, beautifully put.
Knowing that that's going to happen, that there is a 60 and a 70 and an 80-year-old version of ourselves that will look at us wherever we are and say the same thing. And Julie, you also, after I saw that on Lisa's, I was like, okay, I want to quote from Julie too. And you've said, don't look back. You're not going that way. Oh my gosh. Like if only all of us could just embrace that, right?
Wonderful.
How did that kind of shift the way you, that mindset, shift the way you looked at yourself and the way you moved forward?
I don't want to harp too much on about it, but I'd be facing my mortality twice now. Mm. There've been two moments in my life where I've thought, uh-oh, you know, and your life literally shrinks. It gets very tiny at that point. And so therefore, when you come through that, you really, really realize how little time you have potentially got left. I've got, in 10 years, I'll be 66. And I've got a lot to do. So I don't want to be looking back. My energy and my time ruminating and churning things that have happened to me in the past and worrying about what people might think or what they might have thought about something that I've done is a complete waste of my time. People think that you have more time than you have and you don't. You know, you've just got to get on and do things. So looking backwards, it's like that. There's another one, isn't it? There's if you look in the rearview mirror, you're going to crash.
Yeah.
You just stop looking backwards. It's all about like living, being in the moment, like trying to be in the moment as much as you can, but also being excited about what's to come and think forward if you can. And that's not, you know, it's not easy. And it's not certainly not easy when you are ill or you have ill health or you have, you know, problems. But even just a little bit of that, just try not to churn, because you got to try and pull away from those really, they're emotions that will pull you down. Yeah. They will pull you down. And I've been there. So I'm talking from experience. I'm not just sort of chucking that out there. It's definitely don't look back. You're not there. You're that way. I'm going that way.
It's so true. And I've said this so many times on the podcast, but as much as we talk about, like, it's, you know, you've got your whole life ahead of you and it's not over yet and all that, we don't know how numbered our days are. And so that means the decisions we make about today are even more precious, are even more important. Our yeses really mean something. So I appreciate you drilling that message home for our sakes. Lisa, I'll start with you. How many years since you first started? So when you went public, not when you were a private Instagram, but from when you went public to now, how many years has it been?
Okay, so about 2.5 years.
Okay, so it's not very long. Yeah. Not very long. Okay.
No, not really. No.
And Julie, what has been something that maybe has surprised you or you wish somebody would have told you about earlier? Maybe it would have made growing this platform easier.
Probably, you know, a degree in how to monetize the damn thing, because it's really complicated.
Yeah.
I wish someone had said to me, don't be precious about it. Because I remember, you know, agonizing over posting things. Shall I post it? It doesn't matter. Millions of posts go up every day. Millions. And I can't tell you, I can't remember how many hours of footage is posted to YouTube every day. It's insane. It's like 20,000 hours a minute or something.
Wow.
It just gets subsumed. It just gets swallowed. And so it does matter, but it doesn't. Do you know what I mean? Like, it matters to you.
For sure.
But don't be too pressured. I think that's what I would wish someone had said. Look, just get on and post some stuff. Just press the button. Just press the button.
Yeah. You can always delete it.
You can always delete it. That's true. But if we use it for its initial intention, which is just to be social, then you imagine walking into a room and it's just saying hello to a lot of people, right? And it's just engaging with people versus this is my resume that I'm putting forward.
But I think if anyone else is out there listening, just go for it.
Well, I'll be honest. It feels that precious piece that you just said, it feels like that for me. And I can hide behind a brand. It's not my name. It's my company's name. But I will say when I do show up, I get DMs, I get comments. And I think it's just people want to know who is the human behind that brand. And so whether it's you're representing yourself or you're representing your brand, I think we should pay attention to what you're saying about not being too precious about it. I think, Julie, you said you were a teacher.
I did work for a long time in a school, many years, and I worked my way up. I did my degree while I was at the school, and I ended up working with students with special educational needs, and I taught them literacy and helped to run a team of teaching assistants and assess students, that kind of thing. So it was
amazing.
Part of my life for a really long time.
And Lisa, you were a model. And now we have to just say that you, I don't know, do you live on a farm or is it just that you have a lot of animals?
In lockdown, we got the opportunity to buy the field right next door to our home. And it had always been a dream for me to have a little mini animal sanctuary. I've been a vegan for many, many years. And if I had the opportunity to save animals, you know, I really wanted to do that. So, yeah, so we saved, rescued 6 sheep.
Oh, my gosh.
Which are now part of the family. We also rescued 2 dogs from Greece and Bosnia. And we've got 3 rescue cats. So, a very busy household.
It's apparent to me that both of you in the work that you've done prior to this were people that focused on meaningful work. Your impact on whether it's young children or animals, like those were important things to you, and that you're sort of your hearts both run deep. And so it's no surprise that you've developed a friendship and a relationship, not only with each other, but with so many people, that so many people can see that it, whether you're talking about silver hair or whatever, it's really who you are and the way you guys have been able to show up. I think that has commanded so many people's attention. What do you each want to say to a woman who thinks it's too late? And Julie, I'll start with you. She thinks it's too late to start something new.
It's not. It really, really isn't. Oh my God. It just, I'd hate to think someone was sitting out there thinking I could never do that, because that was me, you know. And and I also do writing as well, right? And I'm trying to write books, and I've made connections with a magazine. I'm writing some articles for a magazine. I've guest blogged. Honestly, it was never something I thought I could do. And I just think sliding doors, okay, all you have to do is take one step, because that will go that way, and then something over there will take your attention, and you'll go, oh, well, I'll just talk to them, and then they'll talk to someone else, and then it'll all come back round. These things just have this way of making links and working for you like a little network. And as soon as you just take that one step, I think that's what I would say to someone. Don't think that it's over, but don't think you have to do a massive thing. Just do a small thing in that direction and start small and just get going.
Great advice.
Thanks for that, Julie. Aww. Lisa, what would you say?
First thing I would do is give them a big hug. A big bear hug.
You would.
A big squeeze. And
that's so hard.
Yeah, just say that. Believe in yourself. Look in the mirror and look at you. Look how beautiful you are. Look deeper and know that it's never over. It's never over. Just every day is a new day. There's always a new you.
Yeah.
You're never too old. You know, I lost my brother at 32. Mm. I know how precious life is, and it doesn't matter how old you are. It's just like there's always new opportunities, miracles around every corner.
Yeah.
And friendships and kinships. But first, it'd be that big squeeze.
We just need to open our eyes to those potentials because, and those miracles, as you said, because they are there.
Yeah.
So we're going to just quickly go into our fast five. Lisa, I'll start with you. Please share a daily practice that you do that keeps you grounded.
That would have to be walking my dogs in the countryside. I walk them for about 2 hours. So that keeps me really grounded. And also my sheep. I go out every night and get cuddles off them. And it's just, yeah, it's just really beautiful.
Oh my gosh, what a life. Okay. And Julie, what do you do regularly that keeps you grounded?
I'm going to have to mimic Lisa because I also walk my dog. Walking is massive for me. It's a well-being thing for me. It's mindful. And sometimes I listen to podcasts. I've listened to your podcast on there. Uh-huh. And that's one of my times where I just get to just do a thing, you know, completely for me. And also sometimes I just turn that off and I listen to the birds and, absorb and breathe. That just takes you out of every, you know, takes you out of yourself. And I also, I don't do it often enough, but I try to meditate as often as I can. And I use the Calm app, you know, the app on your phone. And even if I can just get 10 minutes in, it makes a big difference to me.
We'll make sure to link to that too for people. And then what are you each reading these days? Julie, I'll start with you.
At the moment I'm reading Breath by James Nestor, which is about everything to do with breathing. And actually, it's hugely informative. I'd recommend anyone. I haven't quite finished it, but I've changed my, this is going to sound a bit weird, but I've had trouble sleeping for a long time and would wake up with a very dry mouth and just not being able to get back off to sleep. And I've started taping up my mouth. Have you heard of this?
Oh, I've heard of it.
So no. I'm taping up my mouth and I am sleeping through the night. Which is insane.
No way.
Yeah, it forces the nose breath, right?
Yes, mouth breathing is really not very good for you. And so nose breathing is really good and it helps you stay asleep. It also helps you not want to go to the toilet in the night because it suppresses, okay? Honestly, it suppresses this thing in your brain. The pituitary gland gets involved and it suppresses this chemical, vasopressin or something, in your blood so that your kidneys don't make you want to go to the toilet, like the water's not released or something.
Amazing.
By nose breathing.
Who knew? Oh,
it's changed my life.
Yeah, I'm going to read that book, I think.
What are you reading these days, Lisa?
I dip into a few different things depending on what mood I'm in, but at the moment, Untamed is by my bedside by Glennon Doyle.
Yeah.
I haven't read it all because, as I said, I'm sort of quite busy with home life. Also, I like to read Rumi, a few of his beautiful poems, and I'm really into reading about mediumship and the afterlife as well. So I've got loads of books on that. So now and again, I sort of just pick one up and start reading a chapter.
We all have many books on our bedside tables that are just waiting to be finished.
What are you reading? Can I ask you?
Well, actually, at present, I'm reading a book that hasn't come out yet. It's called There Are No Rules for This. And I'm going to have the author on the podcast. And it's her first novel. And so I'm looking forward to sort of finishing that. But that's what I'm sort of thumbing through right now.
Oh, wow.
I love biographies. And I read a lot of how-tos, especially as I'm in this space trying to catch up on all the things around midlife. I will tell you one book, I'm not really finished. I've kind of, to Lisa's point, I've thumbed through a few chapters here and there, but Strength to Strength, I think that's what it's called. And it's, I'll put it in the show notes. It's Arthur Brooks, who writes about moving to this second part of life. And he's a Harvard social scientist, a professor, and talks about crystallized intelligence and sort of this space that we've moved into and wisdom. And I read it because I was giving a quick speech to a bunch of high school seniors, of which my son is one. And so I was using it to sort of form what I was saying. And I ended up just really appreciating the book. So that's a good one. You guys can pick that up. Okay. And then,
Thank you.
Of course. How do you each unwind? Like, what's the thing you do? And maybe it's the dog walking. What's something that is the ideal relaxation device for you? And Lisa, we'll start with you.
Music. Music's a big thing for me. So, yeah, that really helps me unwind. I'd rather just sit there rather than put the TV on, have music on.
Okay.
Or just going outside, looking at the moon.
Yeah.
Or listening to the birds singing at sunset.
I want to go on a Lisa retreat.
Same.
Me too.
I think I need a little bit of that. That's awesome. And Julie, how about you? What do you do to unplug?
I do a bit of yoga. I'm starting to get back into that again. But I think going to the beach, my husband and I absolutely love.
Oh,
we're about 35 minutes from a beach that we love walking on, and we take our dog and we just hang out.
Oh, that's lovely.
We're plant-based as well. We're pescatarian, but mainly plant-based. And we took some hot rolls with some vegan sausages in there, and we took coffee, and we just sat on the beach early morning, and it was really, really lovely.
Julie, what would you go back and tell your 25-year-old self, if you could, about midlife? What do you want her to know?
I would say to her, you're going to be okay. It's a bit cheesy, but don't be scared. Like, things are going to be okay. Mm. And I was so insecure at that age. I think, you know, physically and mentally, and some of the what I'd been through up to that point wasn't giving me the best kind of mindset, if you like. So I think I would definitely give her encouragement and let her know that it's going to be fine. And actually that, you know, I remember being that age and thinking about midlife and thinking it seemed like a different world for, you know, I just no connection with those people at all, you know, but
yeah.
And I would have been fearful of it, I think, thinking that getting old was a bad thing, but actually it's a great thing. This age is amazing. And I would say, don't dye your hair.
Yeah, of course you would.
because there, and some of the research that I've done shows that there are links between, there've been decades of research about hair dye, and there are links between hair dye and cancers. And I've had breast cancer twice, and it's not genetic. So I would definitely tell myself, for God's sake, girl, just put the bottle down. Don't do it.
Lisa, what would you say to your 25-year-old self?
Well, firstly, I'd say don't buy cream sofas. That's what I'd say. The bane of my life. I would say, because I got into healthy eating and exercise very young, so I'd say keep going. Keep going where you're going, stay on that path, and everything in moderation, but where you're going, you're heading in the right direction. And also I'd say your friendships are like gold dust.
Hmm.
So nurture them and hold on to them and always have an open heart.
Yeah.
Because
it will come in handy as you get older.
You too. I tell you, so much goodness coming out of this. And Julie, what has this platform, what has it done to liberate you? How has it liberated you as a woman?
I just think it's taken the restraints off, really. I've got so much energy in me and so much kind of joy for this, you know, what's going forward. I think, you know, it partly feeds from and is boosted from what's happened to me, really. But I just feel like it's liberated my voice. I can speak about issues that are important to women and feel like I'm making a bit of a difference, even in my tiny little corner.
Absolutely.
That is honestly just such a joy. It fills me up, fills my soul. The connections, the tribe, all of those things. And I'm so thankful for it. So thankful.
Lisa, how about you? How has this journey of starting this platform liberated you?
I think everything that Julie said, really, I think it feels like it's sort of blown open my heart chakra. It almost feels like it's just opened me up completely, which obviously brings liberation. And it's been wonderful to acknowledge who I am matters, and hearing my voice, not just hearing my voice in my head and thinking, oh, is that right or is that okay? It's actually putting my voice out there, and that in itself is liberating. And then the wonderful feedback that comes back, you know, just people totally getting what I'm saying. It's been an incredible, incredible ride, and will continue to be so, I'm sure.
Yes. Thank you both for sharing your incredible ride with us and taking us along. This has been such a wonderful way for me to spend the last hour plus, and I cannot wait for people to hear the two of you share.
Thank you so much for bringing us on together as well. That's been joyful.
Yeah.
I saw you guys on one of your platforms. I can't remember who. And I was like, I need to have these two on together.
That's so nice. Thanks.
And Liberty listeners, thank you guys for sharing this hour with Lisa and with Julie and with me. And I know that in addition to learning more about how they've run their respective platforms and the Silver Movement and the Silver Sisters, you are benefiting from their wisdom. So enjoy. And we will talk to you all next week. Bye for now.
Liberty Road is broadcast on all platforms, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and more. If you like what you've heard, please follow, rate, and review Liberty Road on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. It helps us to know if these episodes are inspiring and equipping your ventures. Liberty Road is produced by Netta Jones and Elizabeth Joy Windham, and music by Jordan Flower.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com. The number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe came along and changed everything. With Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. Now I can accept in-person, contactless payments right from my iPhone. No extra hardware required. What's truly remarkable is how I can cater to all of my customers' payment preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe ensure a smooth checkout experience every time. And it's not just me. Stripe helps businesses of all sizes, from local markets to global retailers, scale quickly and stay agile. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.